If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Hey, Mind Pump listeners, we go off on a little bit of a rant, kind of a positive rant in this upcoming episode, where we talk about really listening to your body and trusting the process. And we know a lot of you don't have the experience or the knowledge that we have in trusting the process. And so we have programs. We have programs that you can follow. They're all laid out for you. And one of the best things you could probably do is enroll in them and follow them to the T and watch your body respond. Mm-hmm. And we've combined a lot of these programs together so that you have long-term programming, because we understand that the body does very, very well when you plan it out on a long-term basis, when you train it in different ways over the period of 6 months, 9 months, or over a year. So we have bundles. Our longest bundle is the RGB bundle. That's 9 months of exercise programming.
It's all the best deal, too.
It's the best deal. Mm-hmm. It gives you everything you need. Everything's phased. It has all the exercises and blueprints. It's all broken down for you. We have another two bundles. We have the Sexy Athlete bundle, which teaches you how to take MAPS Aesthetic and combine it with MAPS Performance for both mobility and aesthetics. And then we have the Build Your Butt bundle, which has MAPS Aesthetic and MAPS Anabolic. And it combines them and teaches you how to put them together to wake up what we call a sleepy butt, or to build your posterior chain, because we know a lot of people have that as a challenge. All those bundles are discounted, but what we're also offering is, if you enroll in any of those bundles, we're going to give you for free the No BS six-pack formula.
Ooh, yeah.
This is the first time we've ever given away for free. The No BS six-pack formula is a entire workout program phased out and programmed out specifically designed to build a strong, a visible, effective core. $57 value, and it's yours for free if you enroll in any bundle. This is a promotion that's going on this month, and then we're ending it and never bringing it back. You can find all these programs at mindpumpmedia.com.
Do either one of you guys watch The Office? Have you ever seen The Office?
I love The Office, dude.
Oh, my God. You don't watch that?
I know what it is.
Oh, God. I have so many things that turn you on to, bro. Yeah. I feel like we need to go to camp for three months.
You just took this big old road trip. You know, it's like, you know, you're just on your way, bro.
I don't watch much TV. That's the thing.
Getting out of your bubble.
Huh? Yeah. I don't watch that much TV.
I know.
I watch YouTube and Netflix sometimes, and that's it.
Especially since you enjoy marijuana, too. I feel like there's nothing more that I love than like shutting my brain down, smoking, and then watching a fucking mindless show like The Office that just makes me laugh. Full of one-liners and just like
super random.
Yes.
But I love how they like try to make it so serious, and it's so not serious. You know, like paper.
So, so great.
No, see, yeah. I do the opposite. Like if I'm going to use cannabis and watch TV, honest to God, I prefer watching like abstract thinking
psychedelic type stuff,
or I like watching documentaries or
like
things that make
on
me
like trips.
I enjoy that too, though. I'll give you that. I like that too.
I love it.
I think that's it. That's enjoyable,
dude. The past few nights I've been introducing Jessica to Milton Friedman, and we've been watching economics videos.
Wow, that's a fucking party right there.
I think I found my soulmate. Hey, babe, what do you want to do tonight for fun? You guys, let's watch economics videos. Okay.
I have to say.
I know, what, right?
I haven't got Katrina quite there, because every once in a while I do through that. And every once in a while she will be like, do you feel like watching a documentary? And I'm like, of course. You know, I'm always down to watch something like that. And she rarely ever wants to watch some shit like that. Why is that? Why do men really like? Of course, she wants to watch Notebook. You know what I'm saying? That's what she wants to watch. I want to watch something like that for sure.
Is documentary, is that a male dominated genre?
I don't think so. My wife loves those.
Does she?
Yeah, we watch.
It's a good question. I wonder who likes them more, men or women, or it depends probably on the documentary.
You could probably Google that.
She cannot get me to watch a rom com though. Fuck all.
What's that? Romantic
comedy.
Oh,
I've totally. I heard somebody call it that. I didn't even know. I was like, yes, I'm using that.
Rom com.
Yeah, you know why I don't like. You know why I don't like them? Because they all have the same exact thing that happens at the end.
And their acting is always like horrific.
Here's what happens at the end of every romantic comedy. Okay, there's a couple or two people. Oh my God, they like each other. Oh my God, big fight, break up at the end. They fucking get together somehow, like on a plane. Someone's leaving, and I'm gonna run on the plane, or some last minute thing, or. Yeah. Every time.
I got one more thing to say.
Oh, they ended up together.
I have to say that's my why I hate them, too. I hate them for things. I
know exactly what's going to happen.
Because they're not real.
It's a formula.
It's fooling all the women out there. That's what I don't like.
Yeah.
It's like they're all waiting for that. They're like, you know, sometimes I feel like my girl looks at me like
that.
Where's
the asshole?
When are you going to come romantically sweet, nice. You know, on the white horse and scoop me up and throw me over your shoulder and win some battle? Like, when am I going to do that? Like, I feel like they're waiting for that exact scene to come out because they watch so many of those goddamn movies. And when you watch that many in a row, eventually it brainwashes you into thinking that, like, that's really what's
happening. That's what happens to men with porn, though.
Yeah.
Same thing.
That's why.
You know what I mean? Babe, why don't you invite your friends?
That's true. Yeah.
Fuck. That's what happens on every movie.
Why can't I put it in that one? Yeah.
Why can't I stick this champagne bottle in your asshole?
Oh, my God. Wow.
That's not okay.
I was trying to skirt around that. Adam just went right in.
Justin,
son of a bitch.
Justin did the PC version.
Yeah. I don't want to be all like, you know, super direct.
Were we on Mind Pump Family today?
Yeah, we're on Family today.
I was like, this is what I say.
Yeah. Imagine when we get like that, where we're doing like three different types of podcasts and we have to try and remember which one is
what this? What other kind of podcast what kind of podcast would you want to do besides Mind Pump?
Mind Pump Family.
Besides that.
Oh, besides that?
Yeah.
I would like to talk a little more sports.
I would want to do one only specifically on Star Wars.
That's it. Star Wars talk.
It's so big, like, I could talk about it for like a million years.
So it would be like nerds talking about comic books, Star Wars, Star Trek.
Making fun of ourselves.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
Actually, that'd be a good podcast.
Yeah.
Adam would have, like, we probably have like Adam's story time or something like that.
No,
yeah, sexual experiences.
That's what I mean. Yeah, it's Adam's story time.
Oh, like that?
All right. On today's episode, I'm going to talk about something that happened to me when I was 15 years old. I'm going to go into like some story.
When you get a rash that looks like this, this is what it means.
Yeah.
I would do more of a sports. I like talking more sports. We don't talk very much sports on here.
I would have to come on that show.
Yeah, see
you. Yeah, and you know, bullshit with you.
I think.
Oh, sorry, I woke up.
Yeah.
You think?
Oh, I sleep over here.
What do you think? Well, you would do a political one for sure.
Yeah, the show where Sal tells you he knows everything.
Yeah.
Kind of like Mind Pump.
That's gonna say that's the show already. That's the show already. Dude.
Who was it? That kid that we had on the show. What's
Danny?
His name? Danny. Yeah. He's like, oh, I like Sal because he speaks in absolutes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? No, I don't. I never do.
I never do.
I always do.
That is for sure.
It's true.
Oh,
it's true,
shit,
but fitness is the best one.
Yeah,
you know why I like fitness?
It's our backbone.
No, this is why I like fitness. I don't care who you are, where you come from, what your political beliefs are, what, you know, nationality you are, what religion you are. Everybody's interested in being healthier and feeling good. You know what I mean?
Well, that's okay. I think
it's great because we can reach everybody. Like, I can talk about fitness in any audience or crowd, and
yeah,
I'm not going to have
people. It's going to benefit anybody.
Yeah, the only people that are going to be pissed off at me are if there's other people in the crowd who are in the fitness industry, because I'm probably going to talk
shit
about
them. They're in a different camp.
Yeah,
that we shit on.
I think it guarantees that one characteristic about every single one of those people that are on that journey, and that's that they all care about being better than what they are currently.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's kind of unique in itself, right? Like, how many other things, like, if you show up to a theme park just because everyone's at a theme park, doesn't mean that all they're gonna have the same characteristics and so that. But there is one characteristic that all those people will share, is that they have that desire to better themselves. And there's something to be said about people that are like that. That are,
you can walk into a room, a crowded room of people, and there's going to be a pretty significant percentage of them that are going to be interested in losing weight or becoming more fit or building muscle or getting stronger or moving better, you know, just getting healthier in general. It's something that impacts everybody. That's why I like it so much. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I can talk about it, and just so many people are impacted in a positive way by good fitness information. I can help people. Here's the problem with other categories of help. If I'm talking to someone and I'm trying to tell them how to benefit their business or benefit their,
like, a life coach,
something specific, like, right?
Yeah.
There's going to be a large percentage of people that are immediately going to shut off and be like, I'm not listening to you because you believe in this political thing or you believe in this religion or whatever. Mm, if so I'm talking ridiculous. Fitness, right away people are open. Like, oh, let's talk about fitness.
It's an in, and then we influence you in your political decisions.
Yeah, the only, exactly. the only people I think that would have a problem with talking would immediately shut us off or kind of the know-it-alls, you know, the people who are part of, you know, this big monster that we kind of go against all the time.
Yeah,
they're in protection mode.
Yeah,
you know, well,
of the beast.
Well, because
you ever try to talk to like a big like roided out bodybuilder about fitness?
Well, didn't you just recently?
Why would you?
They don't listen to you at all.
They don't.
You recently got into a little friendly discussion with Paul Rivera.
Just asking questions.
Yeah. No, it was intelligent. I liked it. I was paying attention. I saw you baiting him.
Yeah.
I saw you baiting, and he was pretty.
That sounds gross.
Yeah. What I will say.
Hey, what are you doing in there, baiting?
I don't know him, right? I've only heard him speak on Lane Norton's podcast a few times, and seems like a cool guy. Seems like a smart dude. And anytime that you do something like that where you bait somebody, I always like to see how they respond, because right away it will tell me something about their character. And I like the guy, so mm-hmm. I think yeah. he handled you very well. You did come on his page and you did ask some questions. And
see, there you go again. Coming on his page, baiting him. What are we doing here? What are we doing?
I came on it.
Yeah.
No, they have. It's an interesting. This whole they double down on the philosophy or the understanding that if your macros are in check and your calories are in check, then there's really no good or bad foods. And I don't know. I don't know. I mean, does it make me upset a little bit because there's a lot of people that follow them, but. How can you say that? You know what I mean? How can you say that with a straight face that?
Well, because they take, and I'll tell you right now, being somebody who's listened to almost all of Lane's stuff, along with this guy, I've read some of his shit too, is they really take the other extreme approach, and that this is their answer. So for example, like a lot of people demonize foods, right? And we do this, we've talked about this on our podcast before. And they take it to such an extreme that they talk about how psychologically damaging this can be for you. And so they take that allowing balance and these types of foods to come in you to have such a positive on the psychological side that it counters what it's doing to you basically internally. And mainly because we just don't have the science to prove how bad that really is.
No,
yet.
I get that, but they literally made a post that said it doesn't matter. I even asked the question. So what you're saying is, and this is literally what I said, is that if somebody's macros are good and calories are good, and they eat a Pop-Tart every single day for 30 years, there would be zero effects, zero negative effects, zero. It's benign, basically. And the answer was yes. Like that's a benign thing to do every single day for 30 years.
Yeah.
And that's just not true. That can't be true. It's not only is it can't be true, it's a lot of the science is proving that it's not. We just interviewed Dr. Terry Walls, and she talked about how food, you know, some of her research and how food is influencing, you know, mm-hmm. or the body and how the body reacts, and it had everything to do with things that had nothing to do with calories, carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. Had everything to do with other things.
She's a perfect case because any introduction of like a specific type of a food, like her body reacts like within what she say, like 48 hours or so.
And she's an extreme case, but still.
But still, I mean, you could see that as like a physical change in her body.
Well,
because of the type of food that she's
eating. Response that I got was, well, for people who may have health issues, that's true. But for healthy people, it's okay. But even then, when you look at people with chronic disease,
that's a weak argument.
Yeah. If you have people that with chronic illness, they have just a lower tolerance for it. But that doesn't mean if you do it every day for, you know, 20 or 30 years. Because again, if you look at studies done on these types of things, yes, a lot of the science is going to defend them, but the science is not long. I mean, we don't live. We don't eat, you know.
Well, not only is the science not long, but it's also, for God, how many years has it been biased? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the most of those studies are getting paid by companies that want that argument to stand. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not going to – that we're just now starting to see – and maybe in what would you say, last 5, maybe 10 years tops, are we starting to see the counter? Like, that was one of the things that when we asked Dr. Tracy Walls, like when she was going Terry Walls was, you know, when you first started going through this process, what was it like with your peers? And the pushback that these guys, because there's some of these people are the pioneers of some of the stuff that we're talking about, the doctors mm-hmm. in our fields that are putting these studies out. Well, yeah, so she may only have 15 to 20 studies right now to support what she's arguing, talking about, and there's thousands of support like Lane Norton and Paul Rivera, because there was 30, 40 years of this that were all done to support that argument.
Well, so, it's also, they weren't
give it some time and watch what happens.
And they weren't looking at certain things that they knew
they why would they be looking at those things?
But she even said it. She said a lot of the studies now are being done on animals. She said it'll take about 20 years before we have conclusive, you know, evidence for humans. She goes, but it's all pointing in that direction. And that's how she does her treatments. And you know, she said that the results that they get from whole, from getting nutrients from whole natural foods versus getting these same nutrients from supplements is far better. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, food has things in it that we still don't even understand how they react with each other and then react with the human body. So although you may be eating, you know, a particular vegetable because it's got, you know, let's say vitamin B12 or something in it that you really want, there's other things in that food that help in utilization of that B12 that have their own benefits. And then in the combinations that are right, because that's, you know, the way food grows.
Yeah, nature has that balance down.
It's, and it, we don't know yet. We still haven't identified what that means. So to say that we, you know, eating something every single day is going to have no effect. Well, first of all, that's false. And everything you do every single day is going to have some kind of an effect on your body. Almost nothing is benign.
And it's going to be a varied effect, you know?
Yeah.
So to make a blanket statement that it's not going to affect you, that's like stupid.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't. I thought for sure you were going to head towards the gut flora direction when he went that way. I thought for sure you were going to start asking him questions. Like, so then would you think that it would alter the gut flora at all by consuming a Pop-Tart every single day? And what do you think, what kind of effects do you, I thought you were going to go that way with him.
No, I mean, there's epigenetics. There has, you know, epigenetics is something that's really, you know, evolving right now. The science coming out's pretty amazing. And, you know, basically the basis of that is that your genes are kind of this blueprint. And epigenetics is your lifestyle. And your lifestyle tells your body to which blueprint to go, you know, to utilize. And so if you're eating a certain way or, an, you know, your activities are a certain way, then you're activating, you're turning on this blueprint that's there, but now you've turned it on. So if you're genetically predisposed for, say, diabetes or Alzheimer's or cancer, that doesn't mean you're going to get those things. It means that the blueprint exists in, within you, and it's up to you to turn it on or not. And that's what epigenetics is all about. So there's a lot more than meets the eye. And, you know, I think it's safe to say, you know, eating whole natural foods, being active, you know, taking care of your body, you know, those types of things is better than not, you know what I'm saying? And every little thing you do does have an impact, and that's fine. Nobody's saying you should live like a robot. You know, of course you want to enjoy your life. And I've said this before, if you're enjoying food because you're with your friends and you're enjoying the actual food itself, that's one thing. But if you're just mindlessly eating shitty food, and calling that balance, well, that's not really balance either, right?
Yeah.
Or calling it not shitty food, that there's no such thing, right?
Yeah.
Because I agree. That annoys me, you know? I get what he's doing, though. He's doing the reverse of what you do on your page. You know what I'm saying? He's using that shock and awe. Like,
good.
You got to believe deep down those guys know. You got to believe that, you know, Lane and himself know the science and know what's coming out that's new. But I think just like Dr. Wall said, like she was talking about, it's going to take 20 years for us to get it through human studies. So these guys know they got a 10 to 20 year run right now before someone's going to be able to really prove that they're wrong. Well, even if they know that it's heading in that direction, it's like if I'm in their shoes and we know the formula to make money is to push supplements and bars.
You're talking about integrity. And well, she brought that up too.
Absolutely.
Like, that's why she was drawn to like go in that direction and come out about it, regardless of like, you know, waiting on all the studies to back her up.
Well, today, here's the thing though, that's different about today. Today we were so connected with social media and the internet that you have, you know, anecdote in the past. If you know, I'll give you an example. I have a family member with Crohn's disease. And if this were 20 years ago, you would have to seek out special groups of people who would meet who have Crohn's and who've had Crohn's for a long time and talk to them and hear about what they're doing that they found helps them that's not approved medically. Mm-hmm. It's a very difficult process. You know, you kind of hear it through the grapevine. It doesn't get, you know, the information doesn't get disseminated like it does today, where if you have Crohn's disease, you go online, you see these message boards.
Forums, you can find all kinds
of stuff. Yeah, and so this is how my family member found the what's called the carbohydrate specific diet.
Another thing that is so awesome about the internet, so, we talked about, you know.
And the carbohydrate specific diet is something that people with Crohn's have been using. Anecdotally, lots of people have said it's really worked for them. So he tried it and lo and behold, it put him into complete remission. It's not a approved diet. You know, no doctor would have told him that. It's not an unhealthy diet. So it's not like the doctor would have said, don't do it. But nobody would have given him that advice. And where would he have heard about it in the first place? There's no studies yet. You see what I'm saying? So the internet's kind of changing things now to where we're... I'll give you another example. Let's look at cannabis. Cannabis treating epilepsy. There's certain forms of non-treatable epilepsy, like Dravet syndrome, where children will have multiple seizures every single day, 20, 30 seizures a day, horrible affliction where eventually the child gets brain damage as a result. And there's nothing that you could do. There's no medicine that treats them. There's nothing on the market. And all these people were discovering that giving their children highly concentrated CBD oil, which comes from cannabis, mm-hmm. got rid of their epilepsy. Now, the reason why people started hearing about it was the internet. All of a sudden, people are posting videos of their child having these seizures, giving them the CBD, boom, within 30 seconds, the child stops seizing, and then they're having one seizure a day or no seizures a day. It created this huge momentum online. Pharmaceutical companies got wind of it, started investing, and now you have drugs which should be FDA approved very quickly here. They were put on these fast tracks to approval, but it was all because of the internet. Had that not happened, mm-hmm. they would have never had the momentum behind investing in this kind of thing. So I think when it comes to things with nutrition, we're going to see these movements happen a lot quicker because you're going to see much more power in anecdote, much more power in people. And it's going to motivate people and doctors and researchers to look in that direction because they're going to see a whole sea of people saying, when you have a forum after forum saying, hey, when I eat gluten, this is what I feel in my joints or this is what I notice in my skin or whatever. You're going to have researchers saying, hold on a second, maybe we should look into this. Like, look at all these people. It's like thousands and thousands of people on these forums, talking about this issue with gluten. And I'm just using an example. And then you're going to get more, I think, more money going towards some of this research that you would have normally not seen before. I think that's a very good thing.
Oh, it's exciting as shit, dude.
So it's very exciting for me. So I don't know. I'm pretty hopeful with the future of fitness. I think, one of the messages I was talking to an old client of mine, I haven't trained now for a few months since we've been full time, but I still have clients that'll send me messages about, their nutrition and exercise, and it's a tough road. We all know it. It's a very difficult road to go down, especially when you do it the right way, because you want instant results. You want your body to respond right away. You've done things in the past where you'd lose 5 pounds real fast, and it wasn't the right way, which is why you're at where you're at now. But it's very difficult to go down the path of getting the metabolism to work, doing things the right way. And I have to constantly reinforce trusting the process. Mm. Trust the process. You know the right thing to do. You got to just do it, and then you'll see what happens.
Wouldn't you guys agree that has to be at least 80% of your job? Is it when you're a trainer? When you are a trainer,
totally.
Yeah.
I mean, totally. Literally,
once you lay down the foundation, you have to repeat that all the time.
Yeah, I think that is one of the hardest, and that's why I think that's why we're all so passionate about what we do with coming out with the raw fitness truth, is because that's who we're battling. They make our job so much fucking harder when there's all this gimmicky shit out there.
All these detours.
That are making people believe that, my friend, she lost 15 pounds in this. And it's like trying to get those people to understand that, yeah, we could do that. Yeah, we can go that route, but we're setting yourself up for a headache down the road, and it's only going to be worse. And if you had any idea on how much harder it's going to be for you if you continue to do things this way, you would never start in the first place, because helping somebody early on and teaching them how to eat balanced and train properly early on in their life, so much easier to keep that person in shape than somebody who has just been fucking their body up for 30, 40 years straight.
You have to set, look, you could, if you want to build a house that looks really nice on the outside, I could get a bunch of workers and say, forget the foundation, forget the freaking inside of it, just build
frame
a shell.
Frame this shit up. Let's go.
Put a shell up and make it look real nice from the front, from the front view. Make it look real nice, and that shit could get done real quick.
Yeah.
But the second you go inside that house, try and live in that thing falls apart, looks like shit, there's no plumbing, whatever. When to build a good house takes a little bit of time, but when you do it, it's a house and it lasts a long time. And the same is true for your body. I had a client, I'll never forget this because it was such a battle for me, but luckily this young lady eventually came over and finally trusted the process. And I ended up training her for a long time. I trained her for 3 years before she finally listened to some of the stuff that I was talking about. And during that period of time, this is what this lady would do. She would work out with me 2 days a week. She would eat very low calories, around 1,200 calories. She was running about 10 to 15 miles a week, every single week. On top of working out with me and running, she was doing Pilates, yoga, and doing other additional workouts on her own. She was just a fanatic, all these different things. And granted, she did get lean. She got, kind of where she wanted to, but in order to maintain that, she had to maintain, continue doing that. And I remember I would talk to her and I'd tell her, I'd say, you know, I'd say, you're eating, let's do the math here. You're eating 1,200 calories a day. Mm-hmm. You're working out at least between 1 to 2 hours every single day. On top of that, you're being active throughout the day because she would also measure her NEAT at the time. That's when the body bug first came out, right? So she's measuring that. I said, doesn't that seem kind of weird to you?
Yeah, your whole day's revolving around that. Like every minute of the day, you're fixated on like calories in, calories out, burning, you know, the proper amount and getting the movement. And it's just like, where do you have time, you know, the rest of your day to just hang out and do things that you want to
do? Well, I would tell her that. I said, doesn't that seem kind of crazy to you?
It's consuming.
That 1,200 calories is maintaining you with all this activity. And she'd say, no, my metabolism's just really slow. I'm not one of those lucky people. You know, I've always had issues. And I'd say, okay, what do you mean by always having issues? Let's back up. And we had this long conversation. And she told me how she first dieted when she was 12 years old and how she dieted. And it was a crash diet. Mm-hmm. And how she, basically, this was the repeating cycle since she was 12. And how it's always been difficult to keep weight off. And so I pointed that out to her. I said, well, maybe it's been difficult because this has been your process. You're teaching your body to become extremely efficient with the amount of calories it burns because it knows that you're going to be active. It knows you're going to eat very little. And the second you feed yourself more than 1,200 calories or take a break,
it holds on to that.
Holds on to everything. And that seems to be the cycle. So I don't think it has to do so much with your genes as much as it has to do with this is just your process.
The signal that you're sending your body.
And I told
her, telling your body to do that.
And you know what? One day she broke down. She cried, and this is what she ended up going on vacation for a week. She went to go visit some family, came back. She gained 10 pounds over 1 week period because she binged on candy and chocolate and didn't exercise. And so then she was punishing herself. She came back, she was crying. And I sat down with her. I said, look, here's what I want you to do. You've been doing this for years. All I want you to, this has been a battle of yours for years. I said, just please give me 6 months of your life. Just give me 6 months. What's the worst thing that could happen? Think about that. The worst thing that could happen is you gain 15 pounds and we stop it and we go back to what you were doing before, okay? What's the best thing that could happen? Everything I've been telling you is true. Imagine that. Imagine if everything I'm telling you is true. I said, just trust me. I want you to, we're going to reduce your cardio to the point where you're not doing any cardio because we got to repair things. You're just going to lift weights with me. We're going to focus on making you stronger so that your metabolism speeds up. We're going to slowly work your calories up so that your body gets used to eating more food. We're going to get rid of most of your supplements. You're going to be eating lots of whole natural foods. You're going to focus on things that are going to bring your level of intensity down. So you're going to stop doing that crazy power yoga that you do, you know, four days a week. And I'm going to have you do yin yoga, the boring stuff that you hate, where you're sitting in there meditating. We're going to teach you how to meditate. You're going to go on hikes instead of runs. But I want you to trust me. For 6 months, just do everything I say. And she was so broken down. She said, okay. And she literally did, to the word, everything I did, I told her, she trusted the process. And here's what happened. The first 4 months, nothing. Nothing happened. I think she gained a little bit of weight. She was getting stronger in the gym. She was feeling better, but the mirror wasn't changing. Her weight wasn't changing. She wasn't noticing the faster metabolism. Mm-hmm. It was a very, very slow process. After about 4 or 5 months, then weird shit started happening. All of a sudden, she's like, you know, she'd go weigh herself and be like, I lost 2 pounds. This is weird. And it's staying off. And oh my God, I look leaner. What's going on? I'm still getting stronger. This doesn't make sense. And, you know, and I tell her you need to eat more because you're losing too much weight. And she's like, well, what's going on here? Maybe I'm sick. Maybe something's wrong with me. She couldn't figure it out. And I said, trust the process, stick with it. Anyway, long story short, this young lady ended up later on becoming a personal trainer, and she works out a total fraction of the amount of time that she used to work out.
Yeah.
Her workouts are much more effective and efficient. She now has a fast metabolism. I'm still friends with her. I talked to her and she tells me, she goes, Sal, she goes, if I don't eat 2,000 calories, I start losing weight. She said, I can't believe it. And I told her, I said, remember when we used to have those conversations back in the day?
Right.
And that's the thing, I think.
Your metabolism's finally working for you now. You know, and the people don't have.
You're working with your body, is what you're doing.
Instead of working against it, doesn't resonate for a while for these people. You know, it's a hard thing to do to really trust in that, especially when you know what the go to has been forever for losing weight. Like everybody kind of knows like what they've done to lose weight at a certain point in their life.
Yes, and I think what you have to do is you have to take your eyes off of your old goals. Stop thinking about weight loss and fat loss and shredded and all that stuff. stop looking at it for a while and start focusing on health, performance in the gym. Am I moving better? Am I stronger? How do I feel? How does my skin look? How is my sleep? How's my energy when I'm with my kids? Hey, is my sex drive good?
You got to stop right there because you said this earlier too, when you're talking about how she went 4 months without seeing anything really as far as weight. In fact, she kind of gained weight. But there was other markers that were showing indicators. Mm-hmm. And this is the conversation I find myself having a lot with clients is that, you know, we get so hung up on the scale and the mirror, and that's what we're looking at, which is so easily manipulated. We've talked about this before with sodium and water and carbs. Like, that all makes the way we look in the mirror totally different. So getting caught up in that is bullshit anyways. But telling our clients that, listen, you know, it's not just about those things. There's other markers that are showing you're on the right track. Like, you know, a huge win. If you were somebody who didn't get full night's rest, like, now all of a sudden you're sleeping really well, you know, or you were somebody that experienced headaches 2 to 3 times a week and now you don't have headaches anymore. You know, you used to be somebody who it was so hard to get out of bed, and now you kind of spring up and you have your energy, or you used to have dips in the middle of the day. Now these are all huge victories in the journey of health and fitness and getting your metabolism to work for you. And it's all indicators that you're fucking going the right direction and learning to focus on those victories instead of getting so hung up on the long-term goal of whatever it is that you want to look like aesthetically or feel like it may take a long time to get there, especially if you've been beating your shit up for a long time. Yeah. You know, if you've been somebody who's been hammering your body for a very long time and feeding it poorly, and you just now decide you're going to change that, like, you got to give it some time. Well, man.
We get messages all the time because, you know, we have programs that we offer, our MAPS programs, you know, MAPS Anabolic, Performance, Aesthetic, Anywhere. And sometimes I'll get messages, actually, really, not a whole bunch, but we'll get messages from people who say something like, okay, Sal, I know MAPS Anabolic calls for 3, you know, hard foundational workouts a week in the gym, but I'm so used to so much volume and so much, you know, I work out so much now, I'm going to add an extra 1 or 2 days of, foundational workouts. What do you think? And my answer is usually the same. It's like, trust the process. Just what do you have to lose? You know,
try it out.
What do you have? Literally think about this for a second. If you went with your logic, if you objectively looked at something, because you know it's right, okay? All of you guys listening right now who have this up and down battle with weight loss and muscle and all these crazy things you do, or you are a guy and you're eating 400 grams of protein a day and you're farting your ass off all day long, you know what you're doing is wrong objectively. Damn. You know it. If you were to look at it, you would say, why the fuck? This is not working. This is obviously fucking up my gut and it doesn't feel right. But yet you stick to it because you're being mindless about it. Take a step back and be objective for a second, and then and give it a shot for like 3 months. What's the worst that's going to happen? Think about it. In 3 months, what's the fucking worst thing that's going to happen? You're still working out. What are you going to do? You're going to lose 5 pounds of muscle? Big fucking deal. Do you know how fast that comes on? Do you know how fast you gain 5 pounds of muscle that you may have lost? Or maybe you gain 5 pounds of body fat. Big fucking deal. At the end of that, you're going to be able to have the answer and say to yourself, I was right all along. Or, holy shit, I've been wrong this entire time, which is what's going to happen.
And I didn't lose muscle.
And that's an exciting place to be. At the end of that, it's very exciting to say to yourself, holy shit, I was wrong. Man, I was wasting all this time.
Well, it's important too to note that you have to teach, because I know I've spent a lot of time actually teaching clients to learn to even look for these things, because we were never really taught to pay attention to that stuff. And if we did feel these things like the headaches or the lack of sleep or the stress or whatever that may be going on, all these little indicators of we're not taking care of our body, our stool, like you said, farting, burping, we have all these little signals that our body gives us, but we always attribute it to something else. You know, it's like has nothing really to do with it, and learning to look at those symptoms and try to learn to correlate it with the foods that you're intaking or what you're doing with your routines, like as far as your workout and your daily habits. People just, they don't have that ability. Some of them just, they don't even think about it. Like, I ask them, like, how is your sleep? How is this? I start hitting all these little things and they're like, fine. What the fuck is fine? Yeah. Like, I know me, it's always changing. Like, yesterday it was a certain way, and I know it was a certain way because I fed myself and did everything I was supposed to. This morning, like today, I had great energy because I knew I got to sleep. Like, I know every day that it's not always fine. There's something up or down. And what am I consistently down in, or what am I consistently having or battling with? Like, learning to see those things and then learn to correlate that with the foods when you start eating correctly.
I remember, you know, I had to, and this is a lesson, by the way, you know, I know we're preaching right now, but this is a lesson the three of us have had to go through ourselves time and time again. That's why we're stressing it, because I know we know how difficult it is to trust the process. I had this experience a long time ago. God, back when the designer steroids or the pro hormones or whatever you want to call them were available over the counter, and you could buy these things at your, you know, some supplement stores would sell them, or you could buy them online. And these were literally, some of them were active hormones themselves, and some of them were pro hormones, and they'd get converted in your, you know, by your body to testosterone. So it's basically like taking steroids. And I'd take these things, I'd buy them, and I thought they were okay because they were legal. And you'd feel them, right? You take a steroid, you're going to notice something. You're going to gain some muscle. You're going to get the gains. You're going to get the pump. You're going to feel all these great effects. But at some point, you got to go off. At some point, you got to stop taking it. You know, you take them for 4 week or 6 week cycles or 8 week cycles. And when you go off of them, inevitably, you notice a huge dip in your gains. And then you want to go back on them. And so I did this on and off for a relatively long period of time, right? Go on cycle, on cycle, on cycle, off cycle. Because every time I go off, I would just deflate and I'd lose muscle, I'd lose strength. I wouldn't feel good. And, you know, for obvious reasons, right? My hormone levels in my body were probably off as a result. I was probably training. I know I was training wrong because I was able to get away with training wrong because of these, you know, these designer, you know, steroids that I was taking. And so there was a point, and I'll never forget, you know, I was hanging out with some friends. And these, you know, two friends of mine who've influenced me tremendously, and I'm the person who I am today, a lot of who I am today is because of them. And they were very much into health and wellness. And we were discussing this, and I was more of the meathead of the group. And they were both telling me, like, you know, Sal, why don't you, you mean, you know, all these things, why don't you trust the process and let your body, give your body time to heal and reset itself off of when you stop taking these, and maybe you'll discover better ways of working out and better ways of eating, because your training and stuff kind of may be dictated by these types of things. And so I took a leap of faith, because I knew objectively, like logically, I knew, like, they're right. These people are right. But part of me was like, fuck that. I don't want to lose gain. Like, this sucks. Like, I'm going to keep doing this. And it was a very difficult thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I made that decision that day, and I told them and I gave them my word, and not because I had to, because I knew if I did, I would stick to it. And I proceeded to go through about 3 to 4 months of the worst workouts of my life, the most difficult, probably, you know, period of my fitness in my life. My body had to readjust. I had to rediscover why my, you know, body part split was shit. And that's how I kind of discovered frequency worked a lot better. I discovered that, you know, I maybe was eating too much protein and I need to cut that down. I discovered quite a few things. At the end of that 4 month period, it took my body time to heal. And what I did was I just stopped focusing on building muscle. My workout's still geared around that, but I started thinking about the other signals. And that's the only way I could deal with it, right? I had to think about, how do I feel? How am I sleeping? My skin, I'm not as bloated, all these wonderful things. And after about 4 months, my body started kind of responding really well. I started getting stronger. At the 6 month mark, I was at where I was when I would take these things. At the year mark, I was hitting PRs in my lifts. My workouts looked completely different. And it was totally worth that 4 months of trusting the process. Mm. And so that's what I implore you to do. If you're listening right now, you know in your heart what the right things are to do with your training, what the right things are to do with your diet, and they're usually health focused. Trust the process. Just close your eyes and get in it and do it, because you know you're doing the right thing. Don't worry about weight so much. Don't worry about how you look for a second. Let your body adjust. Let your body work with you. And then at the end of it, you're gonna come out of it and you're gonna be shocked. You're gonna be shocked at how easy it is. Well, it's almost effortless at that point.
I think it's important to know too, or at least for me, that this is a conversation I still have to have with myself. Mm-hmm. I still got to remind myself, like, that there's other victories and things to be focusing on with my health and wellness journey, and not just caught up in the aesthetics, and not just caught up in the PRs, and caught up in, you know, seeing the gains, you know, I'm gaining, like, physically, you know. And I'm not, like, right now you could argue that I was in better shape and stronger and all those things at a different time in just the last year. but there's other things that like I get better about. And some of those are just like, you know, I get really crazy. And I think this is, you just keep getting to each, every year you take it to the next level of your health and fitness.
It's another level of awareness.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yes. And noticing like, man, when I make sure I incorporate fish at least 1 to 3 times in the week, man, I feel so much better when I do that. Oh, if I make sure that every day I'm getting X amount of greens, and when I make sure I get peppers and in there for my digestive enzymes, when I start doing this, like I start noticing like all these little things, how they're affecting my sleep, my stool, my energy levels. And, you know, and I try to improve that, and I try and be aware of it and make sure I cycle it into my diet and stuff. And, you know, even though my PRs are down right now and I'm not in 4% body fat ready to get on a stage, you know, I'm happier with the balance of that I'm doing, and I'm better, getting better about being aware of that and making sure that's a part of my life.
But I would even argue, let's say your goal was to start hitting PRs and get to 4% body fat, knowing what you know now.
Oh, yeah.
Easier, oh, yeah. Better and healthier.
Well, I just mentioned this. I think I talked about this on the podcast about, I feel like right now what my big victory that I'm like holding on to is that I'm putting in the least amount of work in the gym to maintain the best shape that I've ever been. So I'm not in the best shape of my life. I'm in the best shape with the least amount of effort inside the gym. And that's because I've really also honed in a lot of the movements. I mean, through all the program designing and stuff that we've been building, I've realized like, okay, these are the biggest bang for the buck moves on. And this, if at the bare minimum, I make sure I get in the gym, I do that. And it's going to sustain a pretty solid physique on me. Like it's not going to be ready for a stage, but it's a good look that I feel comfortable in. It allows me flexibility. I don't feel married to the gym all the time. So that's something I'm going through right now. And so, but I have to have those talks with myself because I'm human too. I wake up, I dry off in the morning and stuff and look at myself and go like, this motherfucker was on a stage just like 6 months ago. Yeah. What the fuck? Get your shit together. And I want to beat up on myself a little bit, but then I realize like, yeah, but that same guy is better at this and better at that and better at this. So
I think too, like, I mean, we've been talking about trusting the process, well, you need to have a solid plan. So that being like a long-term thinking, that's why we stress like a long-term plan, a long-term program. How do you organize that properly? You know, how do you add in like a proper nutrition program with that? Like you have to have something that you can lean on to be able to trust. And
that's,
so
that's a great point.
You know, there's a lot of people I just know, like listeners that haven't, you know, invested in a program, even if it's ours, if it's somebody else's that, you know, is reputable. And you know, you walk around somewhat aimless, but you feel like you've absorbed a lot of the content, and it just helps a lot to be able to lean on something that is sort of your backbone in the gym. So it's like, well, I'm kind of at this point in my workouts, you know, where do I go from here? Well, that's why we put so much effort into phasing these types of workouts, so that way, you know, we can really stay on top of it and just take you along this journey. So it's not like you're going to walk into the gym and float around and try to really, you know, grasp this concept that we're trying to stress.
No, that's a great point, because if you look at, and I mean, I know I'm going to sound like a commercial here, but
yeah,
if you look at our you know, our Cadillac bundle, right, the big bundle we have, the RGB bundle, which is three of our main programs, but they're put in an order and they're a particular length for a reason. It's not because we're, you know, we're looking to give people more stuff. It's because following it in that order for most people is going to take them on that journey, is going to take their body on the journey from where they're at to 9 months later, where they want to be. And where do you want to be? You want to look a certain way. That's definitely going to happen. You want to feel a certain way. You want your body to respond a certain way. You want to be able to go to the gym and know what you're doing. And here's what I mean by know what you're doing, okay? Knowing what you're doing in the gym doesn't mean you know exercises, okay? That's easy. Mm-hmm. If you got a smartphone, you can pull up an exercise. Anybody could do that. It's knowing your body. When you can walk into a gym and know your body, that's when you really know fitness, and it takes a long time. Mm-hmm. And the way you get there initially is by trusting the process.
You got to be careful when you say that though, because I feel like so many people say like, oh, I know my body. I know how to get in shape.
I've met very few people that know their body.
Well, of course, I agree. Yeah. I feel like I'm 15 plus years deep. I'm still fucking learning mine. You know what I'm saying? So,
well, knowing your body is being aware enough to know the things that you don't know. That's the key. true awareness isn't like...
Oh, that's true good emotional intelligence. That's emotional intelligence. Well, most people don't have that. That's what I'm trying to say. Most people think that they think just because they got themselves in shape before that they know their body. How many times have you heard that before?
Oh, everybody.
I've done this, or I've been here, or I used to do this and I looked amazing, or look at this picture of me, or check me out here. Like, I know my body. I know what it takes to get there.
I'll use you as an example. I'll use Adam as an example. Like, Adam been training for a long time, been working himself out for a long time. Easily one of the top trainers I've ever known in my entire life. Okay. He's lately been working on mobility. Mobility for his hips, depth in his squat. You know, squats for Adam was a big issue for a very, very long period of time. And since starting Mind Pump, he's made a concentrated effort at improving his squat mobility. He recently injured himself as a result because he was aware enough to know what he needed to work on, but he wasn't allowing himself to be aware of to know that he doesn't know. So he didn't trust the process as much as he trusted him, quote unquote, knowing his body. Now he's back. Your awareness is even higher. Cause now what are you doing?
Yeah.
You take a step back and like, look, I'm not even going to fucking pretend like I know what I need to do. I'm just going to follow how it's laid out and just take it from there. And now what? Pain is gone and mobility is getting better again.
Yeah.
Great example. I mean, you know, and I appreciate you doing that because it helped me do the same thing for myself. And that's, I think the message when I say knowing your body, it's really, not that you know the answers, is that you're aware enough to know that you probably don't know the answers. And so you trust the process. This happens to me all the time. I get it's real easy for me to get caught up in the phase one of red, MAPS anabolic. It's real easy for me to get caught up in the, 1 to 3 rep range, go in there, build strength and power, get heavy deadlifts, get my deadlift, weights to start getting up to the mid 500s or whatever. It's easy for me to do that and to keep pushing that. It's very hard for me to go, okay, I've done this for 2 or 3 weeks now. I've hit a new PR or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cycle out of this and go into another phase. Yeah. Because I go into that workout going, I know I can lift more.
I'm killing it right now.
Yeah. I can totally beat last week's.
Yeah.
I think I should just go for it. Like, that would be what I'd want to do, but I'm aware enough to know not to trust that. And so I'm just, okay, what's the program say?
Mm-hmm.
That's why I designed it that way. Now I'm going to follow the program as it's laid out. And when I do that, I progress. I progress faster and better. It
takes a lot of pressure off yourself too.
It takes a lot of pressure off yourself.
If you're really like trusting in that and leaning on on a solid program, think about how much anxiety that just eliminates.
It's true. And you know what's funny? Right now, I love this. So here's what's happening. We're super transparent. So we're just going to be more transparent.
Throw everybody under the bus.
Lately, Mind Pump has been seeing a lot of MAPS performance, people enrolling in the MAPS performance program, MAPS Green, which is arguably one of our less popular in terms of purchases. When people get it and do it, they love it. But it's not as sexy, right, as aesthetic or anabolic, right? It's not specifically designed to make you look good on stage or whatever. It's more of a performance-based, mobility-based type program. And that's just not sexy to a lot of people. However, we've had a lot of people enroll in the RGB bundle, and they're now moving into...
And it's crazy to watch it happening right now.
Right. You've got all these, this huge flood of people now who are moving into MAPS Performance and now are getting through MAPS Performance, and they're raving about it. And so they're telling their friends, and now all of a sudden, we're getting people enrolling in MAPS Performance because people trusted the process.
Because they're going through it. And they're going through it. Almost, I get an inbox probably every day now if somebody's like, man, I tell you what, when I got started green, I wasn't really feeling it, and I wasn't sure about this, and then I didn't feel like that. But dude, I've never felt
it's
so
It's a comfort
good.
Thing, man.
Oh, it is. It's and when you first do it, it's kind of like, especially if that's not your way of training. If it's way away from your
normal. It clashes a lot of that.
It does. Yeah. But boy, when you go through it, and you, especially if you go with the right attitude, because then I have some people that go into one of any of our programs and then expect something magical to happen. Like, right, we had somebody like after 2 weeks, like messages like, I was expecting this program to do more. Yeah. I've heard so much great about it. It's like oh, well, how long have you
been
doing?
Let's go back to the adaptation that you were doing. What phase you're talking about?
Exactly, right.
Yeah, I think, if this is a path you want to go down, here's what you do. You sit down, and I want you to remove yourself from your body, and I want you to observe yourself from the outside. I want you to pretend that you're watching yourself from the outside. You're seeing what you're doing with your workouts. You're observing the nutrition from the outside. And I want you to put on your health and longevity and what's going to work best for me in the long-term glasses. That's what you're going to see everything through. Put those on and now objectively you know, break apart what you're doing. And I want you to write down the things that you think you should probably do. And I want you to cross off the things that you're doing that you probably shouldn't. And don't have to make a commitment to that, the fact that you're going to do them. You don't have to say, okay, if I write this, I'm going to do it. Don't do that yet. Just write it out. Just write it all down just so you have it on a piece of paper. And at the end of it, I want you to look at it and then decide if you're willing and ready to trust the process and take your own advice. That's another big one. A lot of people don't take their own advice. It's so funny when I hear, you know, I have bodybuilder friends, right, who just do some of the craziest things with their nutrition and exercise. And then they're all, you know, now we're all in our mid to late 30s, and some of us are in our early 40s, and they've all got kids now. I've got a couple friends who've got kids who are like, you know, boys who are 13, 14, 15 years old. And they're asking them, hey, dad, should I be eating, you know, 200 grams of protein? Should I be taking all these supplements? And the dad's like, no, just do this, do that. And I asked the dads, well, when do you think they should do that? And like, well, probably never. I mean, because all of a sudden it's your son. Now you're giving them advice. Mm. You should take your own advice and see what would happen. And a lot of people don't take their own advice. And that's what I recommend. Step outside.
Happens all the time.
Step outside. Look at these things. You know, what would you tell your friend? What kind of advice would you tell your friend? Forget about the I need to get in shape in 5 weeks or 6 week thing. You know, you're looking at being fit and healthy long term. What kinds of things, you know, would you do? Mm-hmm. And if you need guidance, if you're looking for, you know, a lot of that work being done for you, you know, I can only speak for the programs that we offer because I know them well, because we design them, mm-hmm. and we are trainers. We're not, you know, fitness,
I'm not personality.
On stage. Yeah, we're not made up, you know, people that look good and we're buffed. I mean, some of us look good and that's great, but that's a side effect.
Some of us.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what I mean, look, marks. Adam is a physique competitor. He's a professional physique competitor, right? But he was a trainer first. That's my point. Like, we've trained people. We've some trained people. We've put this fucking together. Dickhead. We've put this together. Try them out. Enroll in some of the programs. Trust it. Just do it. Just do what it says.
Well, I want to
throw away your old shit and do what it says and watch what happens.
I want to challenge you one step further, and that's because we talked a little bit on the podcast also, is just to, you know, learn to objectively look at all the markers that we were talking about. Learn to look at your stool. Learn to look at your
sleep,
your sleep, your bowel movements, your energy levels. Are they sustained through the
sex
day?
Sex drive, your skin, your hair, your nails.
Yes.
All your mood.
Yes.
All that stuff.
All
your
these
breath.
These are all things your body is trying to tell you, and learn to start to look at that on a day-to-day basis. So if you're ever somebody who would ever answer, oh, I know my body and I'm fine on all those things, then you're fucking lying to yourself right out of the gates. Like, learn to assess daily. Every day, all those markers are being affected by the foods that we're consuming, and learn how to start to connect the dots. But it first starts with you paying attention to it. If you're someone who's never even really paid attention to the consistency of your own stool, or the consistency of your bowel movements, or the consistency of your sleep, start with these things. Start with paying attention to that. Start recognizing that, and start connecting the dots with the foods and your programming that you're doing and the way you're taking care of your body.
What you'll find is that those are very effective long-term motivators to doing the right thing. The scale and, you know, how lean you look or how muscular you look aren't necessarily the best motivators long-term, because those things can be affected by all kinds of shit. Mm-hmm. And you can lose weight on the scale or gain weight on the scale by doing the wrong things. And you know, if you just pay attention to that, then you're not going to notice that you're doing the wrong things. So those are very, very strong motivators. And we think you should start there. Yeah. And also, listen, if you like Mind Pump, leave us a 5-star rating review on iTunes. If we like your review and we pick it, you'll get a free Mind Pump t-shirt. You can also check us out on Instagram at Mind Pump Radio. And we also have our own Instagram pages. Mine is at Mind Pump Sal. Justin is at Mind Pump Justin. And Adam is at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.